What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to the Pack a Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch and Ellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Mitch is back, and does Mason have any optimism left? We're going to have to wait and find out. Make sure to check out them today again from 9 to 11. Also, a brand new show debuts today on The Fan. Check out the three-time Emmy-nominated Rich Eisen Show today from 11 to 2. Excited about that. Rich being here on The Fan is going to be really, really exciting, and can't wait to listen in live today again from 11 to 2. But what I'm really excited about right now is being joined by our good friend Aaron Nagler, the co-founder of Cheesehead TV. You can find him on Twitter at Aaron Nagler. Aaron, it's great to be chatting with you, even on this very distinct non-victory Monday. How are you doing, my friend?
Always great to talk to you, Andy, regardless of the circumstances. And the circumstances, well, they're dire if you're on.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fine, but if you live life like away from the internet, things are still okay. I'm always happy to talk to you, Andy.
Well, I'm glad. I know, I know there's a lot of opinions out there, but let's just cut to the chase right away. Aaron, who are the Packers going to take with the 24th pick in the 2025 NFL draft? I'm just kidding. That seems to be where everyone wants to go.
Herman.
What's that?
That's it. It's not going to work, Herman.
I know. It's one of those days, like you said, certainly on the internet, everyone's panicking, everyone's, I don't even know, is DEFCON 1 or 5 worse? I'm not up to date with my DEFCONs, but it's not great out there, Aaron. I want to give you the floor, first of all, before we even get to any questions. I will let you go in any direction that you want. You can vent on the state of the fandom, the state of the team, the state of the coach, the state of anything that you want. The floor is yours, my friend.
Oh man, that's a wide open area right there you gave me. I mean, look, I am completely understanding where the frustration is coming from around this team. That is palpable, right? But the funny part is, I don't think the frustration is just outside the team. It really feels like the frustration is inside the team, yeah. Because they just can't get out of their own way. And that is not just the players at this point, it's the coaching staff as well. From Rich Bisaccia's crew giving up, the big touchdown return to start things off there on a very well-designed and executed play by the Bears special teams, to the coaches at the end between Matt LaFleur, that soundbite you just played, really messing up with the timeouts there at the end, not taking a timeout when he should have, taking a timeout when he shouldn't have. I mean, how many years into this is he at this point? And he's still grappling with that? And then the final defensive call. Forget the approach on the final defensive drive. I think they played well enough to win. I think the defense played well enough to win in general. But yep. That final call, I mean, legit looks like you're setting up for a Hail Mary attempt when all they need is a field goal. That was as baffling a call as I've ever seen on a football field. So I think, yeah, there's probably frustrations in, we are good enough. We've got the players. We've got the scheme. We know we can do this, but they're just not doing it. And oftentimes, it's because of things they're doing. And all of that I didn't even mention. You know, Jordan Love looking scattershot yet again coming out of the gate. You got another one of your best players in Jaden Reed putting the ball on the ground. If I'm Matt LaFleur, how frustrated is that? How frustrating is that when, okay, I keep hearing, well, I got to get Josh Jacobs the ball. I got to get him going early in the games. I got to get Christian Watson involved. Well, Jaden Reed's not getting enough touches. Well, I'm feeding these guys, and they're putting the ball on the carpet and costing us games. So that's where I'm, you know, I know we heard Matt say in that clip, got to wipe this quick. I don't know how feasible that is, just human nature-wise, to just kind of eliminate everything that's transpired over the last 17 weeks and say, okay, yep, it's a new season. Here we go. Got to go 1-0 against the Eagles. I know that's the platitude, but how realistic that is, I mean, I'm fascinated to find out how they come out of the gate in Philly next Sunday.
Yeah, the fascination's a good word. I think we're going to learn a lot about sort of the DNA of this team because we've heard in the past from Brian and Matt of how this is a team of football junkies that when they lose, they get extra motivated. They go back to the film room, they do all the work, and they sort of learn from it. Well, we're about to find out because this is a really fun batch of adversity that they are faced with at the moment. They've got an unbelievable Philly team in Philly coming up in the first round of the playoffs, and we're about to find out if they can bounce back, wipe the slate clean, and actually learn from some of these errors that they have been putting on tape, whether it again be the coaches or the players, and actually overcome and be better for it moving forward. And if not, they're going to have a lot of self-reflection in the offseason as to how they can kind of overcome that in the future. You kind of mentioned a couple of the things. This was a game that in the end of the day doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. They're in the same seating, and you could tell they were kind of in this no man's land of, we're going to pull Josh Jacobs, at times Kenny Clark, we're going to kind of play to win. What, if anything, did you actually learn about this team from this game?
Yeah, not a whole heck of a lot, except exactly what you're talking about, as far as it really felt like they, especially early in the game, it felt like they were putting stuff on tape that their playoff opponent, whoever that might end up being, would have to work on and would have to worry about and would have to practice against. Whether, you know, certain formations, certain schemes offensively, you also saw what? Jordan Love split out wide and Willis on the field together with Jordan Love for the first time. Something that's been talked about a lot, but now you just spring that here in this game. I just think there was a lot of, okay, we're going to make sure that whoever we face has got to, you know, practice against this and be ready for it. But then it was just weird in the second half when there's like over 8 minutes to go, the defense gets the ball back and they have Malik Willis out there running the 2 minute up tempo offense when all you got to do is run the ball, get down their score. You've got plenty of time. But again, that felt like almost, I mean, I know no one would probably admit to this publicly, but it really felt like a preseason approach. Like, we're going to practice stuff that we need work on. And then at the end of the game, oh yeah, we're going to try and win the game. Then we're going to mess it up. But it just felt so disjointed. And it was weird as far as the approach that you're talking about, because it did. And Matt even admitted after the game, right at the podium, like, yes, the idea was we hoped we could get up and then start pulling guys. And they did some of that, but it's like, to my mind, I don't know how you feel, Andy, but you got to be in or out on this thing. Like, you're just sending a bad message to your team when you're like, oh, some of you are going to play, some of you are going to get out, like, whatever. Like, no, if you're going to play to win the game, or don't. Play your backups, get your young guys in, and get some, you know, much-needed time on task, so to speak, on the grass, rather than this half-ass approach that they seem to take. That, to me, was kind of mystifying.
I'm stunned that we're 1,000,000% in lockstep and on the same page. That was my opening thought today. Is just pick a lane. Decide which one you want. Either go all in on just going full Chiefs mode and saying, just screw it, we do not care about this at all, we're getting ready for Philly, which I would have been totally fine with. Or the Lions approach that they took a week ago when they had nothing to play for and just like, nope, we're going to still steamroll through your face. It's all hands on deck. We're playing to win this game. We're doing it the right way. Or not even right or wrong way, but like, that's the way we're going to play. And that's what they did. Like, just pick a lane and I'm cool with it either way. This middle ground, no man's land is the worst thing that you could possibly do. And you got none of the things that you wanted out of this game. Again, we're being joined by Aaron Nagler, co-founder of Chiefside TV. You can find him on Twitter at Aaron Nagler. I want to. You brought up Jordan Love there for a moment. I haven't had the opportunity to kind of dive into this too much yet. Obviously, the injury is somewhat concerning. It sounds like he's going to be able to go for this upcoming week, and there's not a ton of concern there. What I think there is this level of concern over is he and this offense cannot find the right rhythm right now. And it's weird because they came off of five consecutive 30-point games, and then Minnesota and Chicago happened. They're still scoring in the 20s in these games, but it, like, just nothing feels right at the moment. What's going on with this offense and Jordan Love that they just cannot have any sort of rhythm and consistency right now?
Yeah, it's tough to watch. There's no doubt about that. And I don't know if Jordan's seeing ghosts or what. It's certainly clear that he's not pushing the envelope, so to speak, which is fine. Like, we talked all first half of the season, right? We got to be more careful with the ball. Well, now he's being seemingly careful to a fault. And I don't know how you reset, recalibrate, but there's got to be a middle ground, because right now it feels like he goes back, he surveys the field, and then he knows he's going to hit his check down. But the problem, of course, now is that he's throwing check downs at people's feet.
Yep.
Or even worse, the middle of the field has completely disappeared in this offense as far as attacking anywhere downfield over the middle. Something the teams do with impunity against the Packers, but the Packers themselves seem to only work outside the numbers. And the problem is there's just no synchronization. How many times have we watched in these last two games, whether it was in Minnesota or yesterday against Chicago, where receivers are running to the sticks, let's say. We saw it with Christian Watson. He runs legit to the sticks, and Love puts it, one or two yards in front of the sticks. Well, which is it supposed to be? Who's breaking at the right place? Who's throwing it to the wrong place? Like, there's just no sync in the offense. And that's baffling to me heading into, the wild card weekend. You've been doing this for 17 weeks. I would think that stuff would improve. And I think that was probably the idea for Matt and company. Like, yeah, it's kind of rough at the start of the year. We use September as an extension of the preseason, and then by the time we get to December, things are going to be clicking. Well, that has not happened, and I don't know what it is regarding Jordan and the receivers. I don't know what it is between whatever schemes they're running and this, trying to link up, and we hear this all the time about the footwork from the quarterback to the route running of the receivers, but none of that is in sync right now, and I don't know what magic can occur over the course of the next, three practices, one of which can be in pads. I just don't know, man. That to me is the biggest kind of concern heading into a game where I think they'll be able to run the ball. I think they'll be able to stop the run. But I don't know, when you talk about the passing games, I really think A.J. Brown's going to be a problem. I don't know who on the Packers is going to be a problem if your quarterback is as scattershot as Love is coming out of the gate in his games.
It feels like the foundation of this offense is Josh Jacobs running the football. But when Matt in this offense was really at its best, it always felt like they had a foundation set of who they wanted to be. They had plays in mind that they were going to get to, and then they had plays off of those plays, and one play would lead to a different play that would lead to a evolution of that play, and there was the illusion of complexity, and everything kind of melded and worked together. And I just haven't, even the games that they were putting up 30-plus points, it never quite felt like they were in a rhythm or a situation where there was this cohesion or cohesiveness or rhythm to the offense. It felt like, yes, some days the run game was going. It felt some days they could hit on their big plays, but it didn't feel like it was, again, within the rhythm of an offense in any way. It felt like it was a spammed plays that they liked rather than cohesiveness within the offense. And I don't know how they get that back. I don't know if there was some evolution of the offense that kind of went wrong over time, but it just feels like, I don't know if you can get back to fundamentals. I don't know if they can get back to some of the stuff that's worked earlier, but right now, I don't know where they go from here. And I don't know exactly outside of, again, let's run the ball with Josh Jacobs, what the actual foundation of the offense is. I don't even know if I have a question for you there, Aaron, but thoughts on my ramblings there.
Okay, no, but I understand it. And the frustrating part is, like, how many times have we, over the years, I mean, CZTV produced a shirt about it. I mean, we've wanted them to run the ball. Yep. They've needed to lean into the running game, especially when you have a young starting quarterback, which the Packers do. Your run game, being as strong as it is, should be helping your quarterback, if nothing else, as far as the play-action game. But the play-action game has completely disappeared. So that, to me, seems like the logical way to get Jordan in rhythm. That just has not transpired in any way.
I want to ask you about the big topic that is, you know, the circling the doom and gloom on the internet. In fact, we've got Nate from Milwaukee who just texted in, said, I'm so tired of hearing Matt LaFleur saying he didn't have the team ready or mismanaging the game. You may think I'm crazy, but I think it's a valid question. How much longer do you stay with Matt LaFleur if they get boat raced like everyone think they will? Well, first of all, they are 3.5-point underdogs, so that's not exactly a boat raced line at the moment. But there is this thought by some people that, you know, Matt LaFleur is doing a poor job or is not the right person for this team. I will again give you the floor here, your thoughts on the coaching performance from Matt LaFleur and where his status currently stands.
I mean, yesterday was frustrating, no doubt, and he has blind spots, but every single coach does. Andy Reid was yelled at for a decade about clock management, you know, and now he's considered one of the greatest coaches ever. I think this fan base is completely entitled when it comes to Matt LaFleur, thinking, oh, this guy just wandered in. All he's done is go to the playoffs every year, sans one, and people are like, they're ready to run him out of town. It blows my mind. I understand it's frustrating, but please, I am begging you, look around the league. Matt is one of the best coaches in the NFL. I understand. Again, I get the frustration. I really do. But man, I just was talking to someone last night about, it just feels different as a fandom when we're doing this, winning 11 games, going to the playoffs, and it's a disappointment. And it's 2 years in a row with the youngest team in the league, 2 years in the playoffs. All the while, this year, did it while having to play a backup for 2 games. In the past, that's a death sentence. We know they would have lost those games under Mike McCarthy. It just the lack of perspective kind of just rankles me. And look, it doesn't mean it's whoever that is, the texter caller, whatever, saying it's valid. It's 100% valid. What you're feeling as a fan is valid. That's what you're feeling. You put all your heart and soul into cheering, rooting for this team. Totally get it. But man, I'm begging people to pull back and have just a tiny bit of perspective. I don't doubt for a moment they will come back next year with a improved squad. You know, things going to have some bolstered some areas of concern on the team, whether it's corner, whether it's pass rush, etc. And they're going to come in and they're going to win a ton of games. They're going to be a contender. I have zero doubt about that. Now, getting over the hump and winning that championship, finally, yes, I understand. That's the goal. I think Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst are perfectly positioned to take him there. But this idea that we're going to kick him to the curb for who? Well, we're going to go get Liam Cohen, who's like, what, the same kind of guy? I it's always about the new shiny toy. Matt LaFleur has done a phenomenal job putting his program in place. They have certainly stubbed their toe at times this season, including yesterday. But, I mean, in the pantheon, in the firmament of the NFL, he is one of the best. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of time for the, oh, it's time to talk about Matt LaFleur's job security. I think that's way premature.
I'm glad I asked you because I could not have said it perfectly myself, and you hit it right on the head. I thought that was maybe one of my least favorite Matt LaFleur game yesterday and maybe the most frustrating Matt LaFleur game yesterday, and I could not even remotely bring myself to having the furthest thought in my mind of like, oh, maybe he's not the coach. Like, it's the craziest thing. I feel like I'm going crazy at times, like since, and I know that there's, and again, you're totally right in that every fan has the right to feel that way. There's certainly a level of frustration. Like I said, I thought yesterday was maybe his worst performance of his coaching career. And I think he is an unbelievable coach. I don't know that there's anyone I'd rather have coaching this particular team. I want to see them bounce back. I think there's things, like you said, there's blind spots. There's things he needs to learn from. There's things this team needs to improve upon. But man, I have a ton of faith in Goody, Matt LaFleur, this organization, and the foundation that they have set, that with the youngest team in the NFL, the youngest roster, that they're going to only continue to get better, learn from these mistakes.
Yeah, but Herman, we only say that. We're only saying these things, Herman, because we're in the pocket of the team. We're here to get our press credentials pulled. Come on, Herman. You know this.
I am well aware.
Performative nonsense out here. Come on.
I'm well aware, and thank you for reminding me. All right, let's talk about something positive. Packers-Eagles this coming Sunday. What gives you hope for this game and that the Packers can pull off a victory here?
Well, it's what I was talking about earlier. The Packers will be able to run the ball. They'll be able to stop the run, even against Saquon Barkley, who obviously had a phenomenal game against them last time around in week one. But both of these teams are very different at this point. Certainly the Packers' run defense is at a very different level than it was in week one. The problem, the issue, of course, comes in the passing game on both sides of the ball. especially without Jaire Alexander now. Look, it's funny to watch that Detroit game last night and watch Aaron Glenn, who's had a million guys go down, and he's like firing the bullets out of his gun until he's empty. He does not care. He's sending waves of pressure, playing man coverage on the back end, even though sometimes he can't hold up. He does not care. Then you flip it around, you look at Jeff Hafley's approach. I understand it as far as, look, I got to protect my guys. I got all sorts of injuries. Well, you know, the Lions have tons of injuries. They're still getting after the quarterback, and they're still sending waves of pressure. I would hope, I don't think it's ever going to be wholesale like we saw with the Lions, but I would hope Hafley would maybe get after Jalen Hurts a little bit, especially coming off of the kind of layoff he's had. If indeed he goes, who knows? You never know, really know with a concussion. But if Hurts is out there, yeah, send some pressure after him a little bit heavier than you have all year. Go against type. Go against the profile, as they like to say, just to test it out, just to see how they're doing. How are they on their P's and Q's in their passing game? Because that's something that's been hit and miss in Philly all year. So that's where I'm like, if you're going to make some hay, this is a team that can take the ball over. You got to create a turnover or two and give Jordan Love in this offense an extra opportunity or two to score some points, because I do think Philly's going to move the ball in the air. I do think they're going to score points. The Packers got to hope they can, like I said, get an opportunity or two extra for the offense to hopefully come out on top.
Football's weird. Hopefully this is the week that the Packers can find their rhythm. And sometimes it just takes one little thing and all of a sudden things click and things look a whole heck of a lot different than they did in some previous weeks. I do think they need to learn their lesson from the first game in which they did not really bring pressure on Jalen Hurts at all and try to keep him in the pocket, not beat him with his beat them with his legs. And he beat him with his arm. And so they're going to have to kind of take away some of those lessons and figure out a different game plan this week. I'm excited for it. Aaron, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time and walking me through some of the various issues that are going on with this team. I'm excited to talk football with you later today on Cheesehead TV. What else you got coming out over on the wonderful world of Cheesehead TV?
Just the same great daily stuff we do each and every day throughout the year. We are dedicated to Packers fans worldwide, in season, off season, tons of content. People should check it out.
And you got the Carry the G beer still going strong and things a little bit easier on days like today.
We're in the last stretch. You know, it's on the shelves across Wisconsin. It'll be gone soon. So you got yourself some Carry the G. Make sure you stock up, because end of the season, it'll be off the shelves and won't be back until next year.
All right, well, stock up right now. Aaron, you're the absolute best. And we'll talk to you later today on Let's Talk Football over on the YouTube channel for Cheesehead TV. Follow Aaron on Twitter at Aaron Nagler. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phones. So get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250. It's a Packaday radio show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.